Hello, this is the Angry GM, and this is Q and Angry, the follow-up podcast, wherein I clarify all of my overly confusing points and respond to all of your attempts to pick fights with me over the things I said that you didn't like. And today, I will be addressing the questions and comments that resulted from my publishing of the two-part article, Clubhouse Rules, Scheduling, and Attendance, which was not initially intended to be a two-part article, but it went that way when drafting the first part. It kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger until it expanded to something like 6,500 words, and I still had other topics that I wanted to discuss. So that one got a little out of my control, but I think it was good that it got covered. Interestingly enough, for such a long article, there was not a lot of discussion and not a whole lot of questions about it. In fact, I actually had to abuse and beat up the Discord to get them to put some questions in the thread, because as you know, after I publish these articles for early access, I go into my community-only Discord for Patreon and Subscribestar supporters and open a thread to invite people to ask questions about the articles I just published, and that's where I pull the questions that I answer in Q and Angry from. So I had to yell at people to please post some questions, or else this podcast was going to be 5 minutes of me saying, "This is Q and Angry. I have no cues, so I'm angry about that. Goodbye." So anyway, there was not a lot of discussion about this one, which tells me that I probably made my points pretty clearly and I got it all right, or else nobody cared. And I'm more inclined to believe the first one, because I kind of expected there would be some, let's call it, discussion on this particular topic, because the internet these days is extremely hot and bothered about the concept of punctuality and expecting people to show up when they say they're going to. And in fact, if you go to D&D Twitter or D&D Reddit on any given day right now, you will find also, I guess it's not Twitter anymore, I've been calling it Twix. Okay, so if you go to D&D Twix or D&D Reddit or any other place where D&D discussion happens, you will find all sorts of arguments from players yelling at game masters who expect their players to show up when the game is supposed to start and stay through the entire game, and if there is any change, to let them know. It is a hotly contested issue for reasons that frankly baffle me. But there wasn't a whole lot of discussion about it, which I guess is fine, because we can have an off week where I don't have to resolve any fights or yell and scream at people, at least over that. I'm sure there'll be other things I have to yell and scream at people over. Several people did reach out to thank me for covering this topic, though, and in general for covering all of the topics I've been covering so far in True Campaign Managery, pointing out that they appreciate that someone out there is talking about the unfun parts of game mastering, the parts that involve things like people management and actually making games happen, which are things, of course, the rule books won't tell you anything about. I hate doing this. It's boring. I hate writing it. I dread putting forward True Campaign Managery features, but I'm glad to know they're doing good for people, and I will keep doing them just because of that, and because in the end, I'm a friggin' idealistic altruist, and anyone who says differently will get punched in the face. Anyway, on to the questions and comments. Hatelift, Diego, and basically everybody in the Discord at some point or another wanted to know specifically about my considering dropping my own minimum three player rule. Now, in the article, I talked about how I have a quorum, basically, if a quorum being a limit, a minimum on the number of players you have to have at the table. And I said that my rule, which has been around forever, is basically if less than half the party shows up, or if I have less than three players, I cannot run a D&D game. That is the minimum I need. And I commented somewhat parenthetically that I was considering dropping the minimum three rule. And for some reason, this, more than any other topic I discussed, drew eyeballs and raised eyebrows and knocked socks off and did all of those things that surprising things do to people. And everybody had one burning question. It's like, why would you be willing to run a game for less than three people? And the reason is fairly simple. Now, I'm not thinking about dropping this in all of my games ever, but I am thinking of dropping it in one specific campaign because I have precisely three players in that campaign. So one absence is enough to end the game. And to be fair, the truth of the matter is really that, you know, it's an arbitrary limit. There's nothing about having a minimum of three players that makes it any different from having a minimum of two players. It just always struck me as a little bit like I'm sitting like back in the day in high school, I would run games for just one person. I would run a solo game for one of my players now and again, because, you know, that's what we did back in the day in the 80s. And, you know, you would in the late 80s and the early 90s, you would run games for anybody who could show up. You would just run pickup games. Like, two of my friends would come home with me from high school or middle school or whatever, and I'd be like, hey, you know, you want me to run D&D for you for a little while? Yeah, you roll up characters, I'll figure something out, and then we'll play for 4 hours until dinner time or whatever. You know, and that's just how we did it. But these days, it always struck me as kind of pointless to run a game for just one or two players. And I don't know why that is. It's just this arbitrary thing in my head. It's like, you know what? It's like running for two people is weird. So it's an arbitrary thing, you know, and it's not even anything to do with game balance or whatever, because game balance is a load of horse shit. So you don't even have to worry about that. I can effectively run a game for two characters as easily as I can run with three characters. And I should point out, by the way, that nothing in this article had anything to do with the number of characters present. It's the number of players present. What you do with the characters whose brains didn't show up to the game, that's a whole separate issue that we're going to have to discuss another time, and I did point that out. But anyway, ultimately, I've run into a problem where I have a group that has only three players. We have to do ad hoc scheduling, which means we don't meet on a regular time. We can only meet Friday afternoons or Friday evenings. That is our only time slot that anybody is ever available. But we have to pick Fridays at the start of every month. It's like, okay, we can do the 7th and the 21st, or we can do the 14th and the 21st, whatever it is. We have to pick that at the beginning of the month. So we never know when the games are going to be. And it's usually down to one person whose availability is borked. And what I would like to do is be able to say, okay, fine, it's every 2 weeks on this Friday and this Friday, always alternating. And if there's one player who can't make it 1 week, we'll go without them, because the game was just too damn unreliable. So I actually did put this up to a vote with the players the other night at our Friday night game. I said, look, here's a situation, you know, where we end up, it would open up our scheduling possibilities a bit, because we're one of those, it's a real life group, and we are blessed with the opportunity to have three different locations we could play the game at. So we have, you know, if the host is missing, we still have fallback locations to play. So I said, why don't we just make it so that even if we only have two players, we'll still play? And the group nixed it. Okay. The motion didn't carry. The group said, no, we would rather just continue to, you know, cancel, even if it means we don't get to play as often. And so, you know, we did not actually drop the rule, but that's why. Okay. Mac Chaos asked a very, very specific question, which I kind of have to read semi-verbatim, and I am going to share it with you now, and I'm not going to do a voice. Mac Chaos asked, would you run a game for five players if one player has to arrive an hour late and one has to leave after the first 2 hours, assuming this was the only time slot everyone could manage? So it's a five-person group. One person can only ever show up late. One person can only ever leave early. And that's the only way to make a game happen. And yes, I would run a game for the three people who could attend regularly, and the other two people would be told, I'm sorry, there's just no way to make your availabilities work with everybody else. You know, if something changes, you know, if your schedule or your life changes and you suddenly have the availability again, reach out. And if our scheduling changes, I will let you know. But for right now, I'm sorry, you just don't have a compatible, you know, we don't have a compatible schedule together. These six people, including me, just don't have a compatible schedule. Four of us do, two of us don't. Those two people, they just got to find something else to do with their time because they can't manage the game. Late arrivals and early departures are disruptive. They are tremendously disruptive. They are more disruptive than absences. And I made that point in the article that if someone was on their way to the game and suddenly there was an emergency that was going to make them an hour late, I told them flat out, I would prefer it if you just turn around and go home. Okay, if you're going to show up more than an hour late, or if you're going to show up an hour late or more, it's too much of a disruption. You come in, you got to get settled. Basically, we have to bring the game to a halt for you. We have to catch you up on what's happening. And then you got to, you know, and then we got to kind of pick the momentum back up. That's a tremendous disruption. Someone leaving early is not as big a disruption, but it does mean at the end of next week, we have to start with, okay, here's everything you missed when you left. Okay, and no matter how good you think you are at recapping, it's also important to note, there are always going to be those times when you recap the person and then they have extra questions, or then they say something like, well, why didn't we do that? Why didn't we do that? And there's discussion, or I don't think my character would have done that, or whatever. And then there's the question of having a standing policy for what to do with the characters for the absentee players. So no, I would not run a game under this setup. It's an incompatible schedule, but it's only incompatible for two people, which means I've got enough of a group without those two. And yes, it might be sad if two of those people were my really, 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 really good friends. And this is also not hypothetical because I have had exactly this situation with a group that I was friends with for many years where one of the players' schedules changed to the point where they were going to have to show up late to every game, substantially late, like an hour late. Otherwise, we couldn't get more time out of the end of the game. There wasn't enough time in the game. And we had to have a sad sit down and say, we can't make this work. We already only get 3 hours of game time, and now it's going to be chopped down to two, or we're only running every other week, whatever it was. You know, I do have a minimum amount of time where it's just not worth showing up for a game. You got to figure it takes a game a good hour to get rolling. You know, maybe 45 minutes, but it takes a good 45 minutes at least to get the game rolling and another 45 minutes of winding it down. So if your session is only 2 hours long to begin with, or 3 hours long, or you've got people coming and going, it's kind of hurting the game. You know, it's like at this point, maybe board games are the right hobby for this group. Okay. Wants to know, when do I communicate, or when should any hypothetical person communicate this scheduling and scheduling and attendance shit to the group? Like, when does this actually fit into the whole campaign process? And the answer is as soon as possible. Okay. Which I talked about when I talked about establishing a campaign vision, that one of the first things you have to establish is when and how often and all of these things. Like, how often can you game? How much time do you have? When is it going to be? Figure all of that stuff out, especially because if you don't have a really strong, reliable weekly schedule, you need to start making changes to the campaign, which means this needs to be one of the earliest things you figure out. Okay, as to how you do this, because everybody immediately obsesses, well, all you do it is a session zero, when I said you don't always need a session zero. Because one of the things you can do, especially if you're doing a game first kind of a thing, is you can publish the time that you're running the game. Hey, folks, you know, this, like, if you if you put a message out on the internet, or you hang a flyer up at your local game store, or you pick a time slot at your local game store, you would say, hey, I am running a D&D campaign from 4 to 8 p.m. every Thursday night. Any takers? Then that's effectively putting out the basic scheduling and attendance policy right there. It's that this is a weekly yada, yada, yada. Then you can cover the rest of attendance and stuff at your first meeting. But it doesn't matter actually when you do it. You need to do it as early as possible, and you need it needs to fit into how you're organizing the rest of your campaign. And if the scheduling and attendance thing sabotages your plans for the games, you need to be ready to adjust those plans. Okay. Diego wants to know what to do when you have a last-minute no-show, so that brings you below a quorum. So you and two of your friends are sitting at your game table, twiddling your thumbs. You're expecting two more people to show up. You get a text message from one who says, I'm sorry, my cat just went into labor, I am not going to make it. And then you get another person who's like, my defrangulator in my car broke, it's a no-go, I have to get towed, I am not going to make it. Now what? First of all, because you have already established that there is a minimum number of players you need before you can run a game, you know you cannot run the game. There is no question about that. The policy is clear. I cannot run a game for this many people. Whatever the reason you decided you needed a quorum, well, that quorum is now in effect. You don't have enough players. You cannot run the game. So now it just becomes three people sitting around in a room trying to decide what the hell to do with themselves now that a game is not going to happen. And that is when you just say, so you guys want to go grab a beer? You guys want to hang out and play some board games? Everybody just want to go home for the night? You know, or do you want to play Smash? You know, whatever it is. Okay, I don't know. What do you do with your friends when your plans get scuttled? Like, if you were getting ready to go to a movie, and then all of the sudden, the movie theater was shut down on account of boll weevil infestation, and you get to the movie theater, and there's a sign that says closed, what do? You look at your friends, and you're like, the movie's not happening. Do you guys want to do something else? You want to just call it a night, whatever, and you resolve it that way. The one thing you don't know, or the one thing you know, is that it ain't going to be your D&D game. Though, of course, you could, if you're that sort of game master, you could have people roll up characters and run them through a one-shot. I wouldn't do that, because if I have less than a quorum, well, again, those quorums, I established them for a reason, and that is the number of people I'm comfortable running a game for. Which is why also when you establish a quorum, you should be serious about it. It should be like, no, no, there are reasons why I will not run. Like, I don't feel comfortable running with fewer than this many people. You know, that's your minimum number of players. Should be a minimum for a reason. Okay. Diego also started a big fight and a big discussion about picking the right system for an unreliable game, and I am not going to criticize or judge Diego in any way. I am going to stick only to what I believe to be objective, provable facts. Diego was being a petulant D&D hater. So, you know, but joking a bit, but seriously. One thing I said in the article is this: if you have a very unreliable game schedule where you can't meet every week for a good number of hours, I said like 4 hours every week on a regular night with all hands on deck most of the time, that's a reliable game. And the more you deviate from that, the less reliable your game is. And so as soon as your game starts to deviate from reliable, you need to start making changes to the game you're going to run. To the point where I finally concluded by saying that in the end, if your game is super unreliable, you know, suck it up, run D&D 5e, run a Dungeon of the Week game. Don't try to do anything fancier than that, because that's all you can pull off. And Diego said, well, what if Dungeons & Dragons sucks, especially because fighting takes too long in Dungeons & Dragons? And obviously, again, I'm ribbing Diego. But it was this discussion of, well, I want to pick a new and different system. Can you give me recommendations for different systems I can learn? And I need to jump in on this because Diego missed the point. Okay. It doesn't matter what the system was. I wasn't saying use D&D because D&D is the best system to do this. My point was use the system you and your players can run and play the most efficiently. If that's not D&D 5e, fine. Run something else. Run whatever it is your go-to game for you and your players. Okay? That's your first choice. The first choice is the game you have been running forever that you know inside and outwards for these players who also know it inside and outwards. Okay? Second, don't learn a new system to run an unreliable campaign. Just don't. If you have to learn a new system for some bonkers reason, then don't start a campaign until you've at least run a one-shot. So buy the starter box for your campaign, run it for however many weeks it takes to run that first adventure with the pre-generated characters, and then at the end, everybody could sit down and say, okay, do we want to run, you know, is it running reliably enough now and is it fun enough that we would stick out a campaign, especially considering the fact that you still have an unreliable campaign and it still has to be something you can run efficiently, that isn't too character driven, that isn't based on complex plots, that doesn't have a lot of weighty rules, okay? So that was the point. It wasn't use D&D 5e because it's the best choice for that, except that at most tables in America in 2024, I'm sorry to say, D&D 5e is the system most people know and can run the most efficiently. And I'm not even going to discuss the efficiency problems that I think I highlighted at Diego's table when I was told, well, combat in D&D takes an hour or more to resolve. And I'm like, what are you doing in your combats that it's taking you an hour to resolve them? That's a whole separate issue. And maybe the real problem here is look at why are you not running your games very efficiently? Because if you're going to run an unreliable campaign, this is now real advice. This is not me bashing Diego again. Now I'm back to the real advice. The real advice now is if you can't run your game that efficiently to begin with, don't try to run an unreliable campaign until you've figured out what the efficiency problem is. Okay? Because in no way should it be taking that long. Okay. Third, this is the third piece of advice here, and wow, that was loud. I see now what Rattercrash was saying about my dynamics. Because while I have the Discord minimized, I'm just staring at the waveforms, and that, wow, it just went poof. Anyway, okay, third, get your friggin' priorities straight, okay? Running the system you want to run, or the system you like, or even the system you don't hate, is less important than running a good campaign, okay? I have no compunctions. I will run anything. I have run Fate. I would run a Fate campaign. I would run a Dungeon World campaign. I would run Blades in the Dark. If it was literally the best system for my table, I would run it, okay? Because I can get a good game out of anything. There's no such thing as a system. Like, to a certain extent, hating a system is just kind of stupid. Okay? There's no real point in hating a system. There's a couple of systems that are worthy of hate. Everyone has theirs. But I actually advise everyone, you know, as homework, go out and run a 12-session, 3-month game in the system you hate the most. Go ahead. But anyway, the point is, You don't get to have any, as soon as your game's unreliable, give up any sense that you get any say in what the system you're running is. I'm sorry, at that point, reality and people's schedules and what you can actually pull off has a lot more to say than what you want to do and what you like and what you hate. That's just how it is. And you can't afford to think any differently. Says the guy who, by the way, and I'm going to wrap up on this, admits that he is doing everything completely wrong right now in his own game. Okay, because my Warhammer Fantasy 4th edition roleplay game that I am running right now, I am running that for the tremendously unreliable group of three with the ad hoc scheduling. And it is unfortunately an intrigue-based character drama, because that's how Warhammer works out, with very dense rules that none of the players have ever played, and I, before I started doing this, had never run. It was absolutely the wrong thing to choose for the campaign that I have. And it shows. It's a real struggle. Okay. Why am I doing it? I'm doing it because when we initially sat down and came to our agreement about how the game was going to run, this wasn't what it was going to be. Okay. Unfortunately, after we launched the campaign, life got in the way and the schedule and things got tremendously disrupted, and suddenly people's availabilities were not what they initially said they were. And there's been a mess about that. And it's not all me. This is not just because I have had some scheduling screw-ups myself in the last several months. But in this case, it was just that the scheduling that we agreed on that seemed like it would be perfectly okay for this game, because we had a good long 4-hour session that was nothing but gameplay, no dinner in the middle or anything else. It was going to be every other week, but it was going to be a very regular game, and we did play a one shot of it first, and we agreed that we were enjoying the game. So the only issue was just that I had to do it every other week instead of every week, and I felt I could get around that. But then things kind of fell apart, and now I'm stuck with a tremendously unreliable game, which is just, and running absolutely the wrong system for it, and it is exceedingly painful. And I actually sat down, that's one of the reasons why I was willing to change my scheduling rules, my scheduling policy, but last week, I sat down and came clean with my players and said, look, just want you to know flat out, I'm having a little bit of a struggle with this game. I am going to have to adjust some of the structure of the game. I'm going to have to adjust how we're doing some things. I'm going to have to cut out some, there's downtime elements in Warhammer Fantasy that we're just not going to waste game time on. I'm going to have to make some changes unless we want to drop this game. If we're having fun and you agree we're having fun and we can agree to focus 110% while we're sitting at the table, I'll keep struggling through it, and we'll all keep struggling through it together. And also, you know, some things about the survey and the schedule and stuff. But otherwise, I'd like to propose dropping the game and doing something else. And the motion did not carry. And so now I am stuck running it. And it is an object lesson in just how much of a struggle all this shit is, and why my advice to run the appropriate campaign for your schedule was absolutely the right advice, and you should listen to it. And if I had my choice, even though I hate it, I would be running D&D 5e for this group right now. And that brings me to the end of this episode of Q and Angry, and I will be back with another one next week.